This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks, and today I'm talking with Julien Sauvage, Director of Product Marketing for Einstein Salesforce, and Leo Tenenblatt, Product Management for Einstein Platform at Salesforce as well. Hello, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
We're here at Salesforce World Tour, and we heard on stage about two use cases of Einstein. One was used by Pink, Einstein Voice, and one was at Barclays, which is Einstein Analytics for Financial Services. But there are a lot of different use cases for Einstein. It's quite confusing in how you can use it. Could you just go through each of the different, at a high level, solutions that Salesforce offer for Einstein?
We have, as you said, many solutions. The product is both, I guess, deep and broad. So let me try to clarify some of that. The first thing at the brand level is there's Einstein and there's Einstein Analytics. So Einstein is really the core AI offerings of the products. And Einstein Analytics is more of the pure analytical side of the products, building dashboards and so on. For Einstein and Einstein AI, the way we break things down is with three main categories of products. The first one is what we call the out-of-the-box apps or the out-of-the-box solutions. That would apply across lines of businesses and use cases like sales, service, marketing, and commerce. Those typically are add-on products you buy as a license on top of your existing Sales Cloud or Service Cloud licenses. The second category is what we call custom AI. It still is a declarative way to do AI. You don't need to have a PhD in data science. It's all very admin-friendly, but you can tackle and address custom use cases with those tools. That would encompass things like Einstein Prediction Builder, Einstein Next Best Action, and things like that. The last one is the further side of the spectrum is all the dev stuff, all the AI services that we give to our ecosystem of developers so that they can basically do things like image classification, object detection, all the deep learning technology with APIs. So this is more like the code version of Einstein. So Einstein out-of-the-box apps, Einstein custom AI declarative, and then Einstein programmatic AI.
In terms of partners, are they taking custom AI or are they taking the developer piece? Or is it a mixture of two?
A mixture of the two. We have a good example of a partner who embeds the Einstein Vision API into their offering to do things like count the number of objects on a given shelf for compliance. That's what's called planogram analysis in retail. So they're basically using our API and putting that in their vertical solution. That's an example of using declarative AI. Other partners use Einstein Prediction Builder and Einstein Discovery to basically build a prediction and then surface that in their vertical application as well. So it's both.
In terms of voice, and we heard how voice is working, where are you technically with voice and what are the challenges that you're having with voice? Because it's not all about within the Salesforce platform, obviously.
We have challenges, and I can let Leo talk about this as well. Where we are is in beta right now. We'll be available either in open beta or generally available soon, probably next year. We'll probably come for free with, at least in some flavor, with Salesforce. It's in the mobile app, so the voice assistant, you can access that product from the Salesforce mobile app. And it's basically analyzing notes and logging that data into Salesforce. It's working well right now. We have a handful of customers using that in pilot. We actually had a customer up on stage, I believe, a month ago. They talked about their success implementation. The customer is called OneCall. It's going well, still nascent. I guess the challenges are dealing with things like an accent like myself. The reason why I never do a live demo of Einstein Voice and I let my colleagues do it is that it doesn't like accents. So that's one challenge. The other challenge is it doesn't like when two people are talking together. Just like decoupling people from a voice perspective is hard. So those are some of the challenges we've seen. Do you have other challenges you want to talk about?
Those are the main challenges, and they all boil down to data. The more training data that we have, the better we can respond to some of these challenges, accents, noise, background noise, and those kind of things. And the challenge for us is obviously because we take our customers' data very, very seriously, we typically silo it, and only the customers can see their own data. But for applications like this, the ideal is to get as much training data as we can together into a global model that then everybody can leverage. And so there's some legal nuances there that we have to walk through and understand which customers are willing to take that journey with us to make the product better for everyone.
It's tricky. There are two questions that come out of that. One of which is around, you mentioned that it's going to be available for free, and clearly that's great news for customers. It's one of the things we're seeing as a general trend is that people are now embedding AI in their products without charging for it, rather than having a separate, in terms of way Einstein, because one of the early AI engines would say, here's Einstein AI, you need to buy it to deliver it. So it clears your strategy is changing. So can you explain how the strategy is changing and what difference will it make going forward?
It's a really good question and kind of a tricky one too. I don't think I'm saying that all the Einstein products will become free of charge in the future, because there's nuances there and it varies by the cloud. But I do think that Einstein was meant to be used broadly to make, I know it sounds a little cliche, but to make our own Salesforce users just happier with Salesforce. And then that makes the rest of the Salesforce products stickier for us. We're really focusing on adoption of Einstein and of AI overall. Whether that means we'll have to make certain products for free, or maybe we'll have to make certain products freemium where you try before you buy, this is still to be defined, but the focus for us is we want to have people successfully and happily using AI products.
The second question is, Salesforce hired Paula Goldman, first Chief Ethical and Humane Use Officer, earlier this year. You talk about the compliance challenges, but that leads on to the ethical questions around AI. And how has her appointments influenced what your strategy or what you're doing or the processes within your product development?
What I've seen as a change is we product people have more pressure to build some ethical AI in the product. It needs to be baked into the product. I'll give you examples. Einstein Discovery was mostly building predictive models of any data you would feed into it as an engine. And now we have that protected field feature that has been just released in the summer release, where we give you flags as to, hey, there's a bias in your data. For example, if you define gender as a variable and you say, I want to protect that gender variable, then Discovery is going to analyze the rest of the data, and then maybe Discovery will see that there's a correlation between gender and, say, zip code, and then it's going to flag zip code as a variable you should exclude because that is adding bias to your model. I know it's kind of a niche example, but...
Would dress size be a better use rather than zip code?
Yes, exactly. But what I'm trying to say is that now the power user has more guidance regarding the data he or she should use or shouldn't use. There's also more transparency in the model. We always give the reasons why a score is what it is. We give the top factors. In Discovery, you can export the R code so that it's an open box. You can actually see the kind of model that was selected. The product teams are really trying to incorporate a lot of that transparent, trusted, ethical AI right from the early stages of product development.
So you're talking about explainable AI, and that's a nuanced change of direction in a sense, rather than a complete change of direction, one assumes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
The other thing I was going to add to that transparency point is one of the engines that powers a lot of our AI is called Transmogrify, and it's something that we've open sourced precisely so that everybody can actually see the code that generates that AI and have the faith that it's doing the right things. Basically, it's a transparent box that everybody can understand. It has resonated quite a lot with customers.
Any feedback in terms of where you've uncovered bias?
The bias is very customer-centric, so we don't actually see it because the customers are typically building models for themselves. But they will inherently come back and say, look, in this model that we've built, we can see that the reasons that are coming back for a specific score are not what we would like. And they typically go back, and there are ways to uncheck certain fields or eliminate that bias from the models so that they can do it on their own.
Kind of hard for us to see, sorry, because we don't get to see the customer data. We wish we could see it, but we don't. And that's why we need to have those guardrails and stuff in the product so that they have a good use of their data.
One key aspect I want to clarify is that unlike most consumer AI, for us, we don't actually build models. We build a model factory. And like Julien was saying, we don't actually see the model being built. We don't have any visibility into that because it's customer specific.
We saw in Einstein with Pink used Einstein Voice with the Einstein analysis. Is that solution a horizontal solution? Is it a vertical fashion industry solution? Or is it a repeatable implementation that customers have to go through a process of professional services to deliver?
Yeah, so that piece is repeatable. There's no services involved because it's based on a global model. And so we have had a group of pilot customers that have agreed to have their data go into this global model. But if you look at it, it makes sense because you're talking about things like action items or meetings or dates that are quite universal. And then the only other things that are customer specific are things that are very sort of direct, where you're looking at the name of a contact that's mentioned and looking at that name that shows up in that tenant, that organization's Salesforce database. For the most part, the things that are AI are general, and so they can be deployed very easily without any professional services.
I assume each customer, so example, Pink with the shirt size, that's obviously not every customer is going to want to use shirt size. So there must be some customization within there to tie up the customer relevant data to whatever the voice instructions are.
Yeah, so it's just tied to the specific objects or contact names and account names. Those are customer specific. If you can imagine, the verbs or things like that are global. Yeah.
And the kind of stuff's global. Is that customization or configuration for their customers?
No, it just happens naturally by just looking at the data.
Okay, so Einstein analyzes the data set, the metadata, and then says, actually, what you said is change size, and you've got a field that says size.
Correct. What's customizable for the admin is specify the object. Leo just did a service-oriented demo where typically a service agent logs some nodes after some field intervention. The admin would set that up. He would set up what we call a template. He would specify that the parent object is the account, the child object is the case. If it's a service use case, that's it. The rest of the NLP is done automatically by Einstein.
Partner is obviously leveraging you both in the custom AI and the development platform. Where are you seeing some interesting things within the customer landscape?
When we launched Einstein, it was more geared towards the enterprise business unit. And now with products like Prediction Builder or with products like even with NBA, you don't have to have an army of people to use Einstein. A good example of that is a company in France called Zen Connect. It's a company of 60 people. And it's all public up on the website, so I'm not saying like crazy confidential things. They have one admin. That person is not even a data scientist, not an analyst person. He's just a plain Salesforce admin. And so they're using Builder to do two things. One is flag the sales opportunities that will take too long to close. And the second one is, and that's a cool use case because it's not sales or service, flag the payments that will be paid late. It's more like a CFO / finance use case. So that's a good example of a small company with almost no skill set and really short on resource who can do amazing things with custom AI and with Einstein. And their ROI is amazing. Their cash flow went from 60 days to 30 days. So it's like 100% ROI on that invoicing use case. Other examples would include the usual sales and service and marketing use cases. So US Bank would convert more leads with Einstein for sales. For service, we have Hulu, the streaming provider in the US, doing case deflection with Einstein bots. With marketing, we have leads optimizing their marketing campaigns with Einstein engagement scoring. So it really spans across the usual line of business, lines of businesses for us.
In terms of the partner ecosystem, I've seen a few partners implement Einstein across their application. What are the leaders in the space who are really pushing Einstein further than you kind of expect sometimes?
That's a tough question because we don't want to make people unhappy about not mentioning their names. But I would say, as you would expect, the top SIs are doing fantastic with Einstein and with Einstein Analytics. They have really good offerings now. And then in the more vertical partners or horizontal partners, we are seeing great things coming from people like Financial Force and others. A lot of them are using Builder or Discovery or some variation of Einstein Analytics to basically embed those insights and those dashboards into their apps.
And I'll just mention that there's some SIs that we've seen that have now data science teams or data science practices, and we're getting some interesting questions that are pushing the boundaries of what we should be doing with the roadmap for the entire Einstein portfolio.
What is that roadmap looking like? What's the next generation of Einstein going to look like?
I'll give you a couple of broad strokes. We're doing more on voice. I can't divulge too much, but we're doing more on voice on the next best action, for example. The product that's out there is very rules-based, but we're introducing AI into it so that it has both components. And then the other element for us is, like Julien was saying, more explainability so that it can be more trusted and easier to use. But then I think it's just going about different classes of problems. So if you take Prediction Builder, for example, today it goes after binary classification, multi-class classification. We're going to add things like regression. We're looking at other things like recommendation engines or forecasting and going after classes of problems that are pretty common in our customer landscape.
I normally say the four major roadmap themes are voice, more voice, more NBA, deeper things on the platform side, just like Leo said, and more trust. These are the four major kind of areas of focus for our product teams.
Is voice within your control? Because a lot of people use other people's voice engines. There's a lot of things which I would have thought outside the Salesforce control. Or do you go to your partners or do you actually have your own voice engine?
We have our own voice engines. We leverage the partners as well, because in some cases our engines are going to be better. In some cases the partners are going to have more language coverage. So we have efforts on all sides. At the end of the day, we care about the customer success. And so we're going to leverage whatever makes the most sense for that use case. But we have our own initiative on that front.
Everything's in-house. If you want everything in-house, it can be everything in-house.
My understanding is if I've got an iPhone and I'm interfacing with the Salesforce app on the iPhone, I'm talking to the iPhone voice analysis, aren't I? Not the Salesforce voice analysis. So don't you rely on the iPhone voice analysis at that point?
For now, that's changing. We're developing our own ASR, automated speech recognition system. It's shipping, I don't even know when, in 2022, like by Dreamforce, I'm assuming.
That's one example where we might optimize for if you're offline, for example, you can still transcribe the notes and then send it over, even if the transcription is done by Siri. Obviously, if you're offline, we can't leverage ours. So that's where we balance it depending on what the circumstance is.
Thank you very much, Julian. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.